You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
All right, I'd like you to turn your Bibles over to Matthew 28, and we're going to read a passage there that we probably haven't heard for a little bit, but it's a great passage. And as I kind of said earlier, I'm going to talk about, the last couple of weeks I've been thinking about, how did I get here? Really? You know, and 2 weeks ago in Bible Talk, Brandon Adams was like, you need to say, I'm the big homie. And we just talked about it. I said, now I am the big homie. But, you know, the question is, how does somebody get here? You know, I know it's not necessarily just from me and my good looks and talent. Not my ragtime piano playing. But I really believe, you know, God has changed me and is continuing to change me. And I do need help, you know, from everyone here. So let's read Matthew 28:18 through 20. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And really, my first point about how I got here is that I made Jesus my Lord. It began back in 1980 when I was a college student at the University of Wisconsin. You know, I started studying the Bible and really seeing the Bible in a different way than I'd ever seen it before. I'd read the Bible some when I was younger, but it just seemed to come alive for me. And I began to understand what Jesus really did for me. And so I committed to Jesus being my Lord for the rest of my life. Now, I know that sounds really easy, but when you make that decision, there are things that get shaken up. And in Matthew chapter 10, this verse was, I covered some of the concepts of this verse. Because this is where my life was headed in a very different direction. I didn't grow up in a really religious family, but my family was religious. And you don't change that. You go in the direction of your family. And I was making a decision that was a very different road than where everybody else was going. And I'll never forget reading this passage in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, starting. Jesus says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When I was looking at, you know, what are the costs of me really making Jesus Lord and following Jesus, the potential was to lose my family. Jesus was bringing a sword in my family. And of course, you know, I made that decision, and that sword came pretty strongly. I didn't get disowned, but it certainly drew a line between me and where my family was. And I know that they probably felt a little judged, because I was the most religious person in my family. I went to church. I knew all the leaders. I was very connected. So it was very unusual for me to make that kind of decision. But to me, there was no choice. It was very clear. The scriptures are very clear. And, I wasn't going to compromise just because my parents had a different viewpoint. You know, when it all comes down to it is my mom and dad were not going to help me get to heaven. Jesus already opened that door, and I needed to follow him because he's the one who's going to get me to heaven. That's why he needs to be my Lord. And, you know, the result of that is me becoming more like Jesus, because now I can love like Jesus because I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm understanding more about Jesus. So it changed the dynamics of my relationship with my family. And it made me a person who is much more loving, much more kind, much more generous, much less selfish, although I do have my tendencies like everybody. But it changed me. And that would not have happened had I not made that decision to follow Jesus. And also, I think the other piece to this is that Jesus being Lord of my life now opens up other decisions that I needed to make that were important decisions. Who I would marry, how I would raise my children, where I would go to church. And what I decided was I was going to put myself in the best possible situation that I would be faithful to God. And that's why I'm a part of the church here. This was one of the best decisions for Fiona and I to be. We could have gone to other churches in Connecticut or other places, but we chose to be here. We wanted to be here. And I'm totally grateful because you guys have been an inspiration for me. And we need each other, and I'll get to that in a second. Going back to Matthew 18, or Matthew 28, rather. So Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus is my Lord. He says in verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, it's funny because I grew up in Wisconsin. There's not all nations necessarily represented in Wisconsin. Moving here to New York, I feel like I'm now in all nations. There are so many different people that I've met from being here. And, the charge is to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them, to bring them to a decision to follow Jesus just like I did. You know, and some of it is freeing to know what your purpose is. It's also exciting to know what your purpose is. And it's so exciting to see somebody decide that they're going to follow Jesus, just like AT. Amen, bro. That encourages my soul. The reality is we need everybody to work together in order for this to happen. It's not a one-man show. It's not Steve or me or anybody else or the Bible Talk leaders or whatever. We all work together. That's what makes making disciples fun, is being able to work together, to learn from each other, to help each other, encourage. Sometimes people would say things to them that I have no idea where it came from, but it was exactly what that person needed. And I think about the people who helped with Kyle and Blake. There are numerous people who have had numerous discussions. Darren and Terry talking to Kyle, connecting with Kyle, and I'm so grateful that they're here today. And many, Mike Santori working out with Kyle. Ryan Irby hanging out with Blake while he was in high school. Steve Kennard hanging out with Blake while he's in college. And so many of you others who have been a part of my children's lives It does take a village to not just raise a kid, but to help somebody to see who Jesus is and how God really works and God's love. So part of what got me here was just making disciples and seeing people change, growing in my faith in that way. And I'm also very excited about working with the teens. To be able to share from my experience, but also to share the word in such a way that they connect with it. You know, the world is different in high school than when I was in high school. I do remember high school very well, and even though I'm a little older. As I was discussing with one of the guys some of the racism that's been going on in one of the schools, the shootings, the threats, the bomb threats that happen, I didn't grow up with any of that. And yet, you know, these kids are in that scenario, and they need a refuge. And that's kind of how I thought about the teens, is I wanted it to be a refuge for them, a spiritual refuge, not just to come to Bible talk, have some nice snacks, but to really talk about real things, to talk about our lives, to talk about what really means something, and in that way to help them to fall in love with Jesus and to follow him and make Jesus Lord. And then in going on in Matthew 28, he says, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So it doesn't stop with baptism. That's just the beginning. We need help from each other. We need training in our lives. And I'm so grateful that I've had so many of you in my life. Phil, Zayas, and Steve Kennard, and Phil Garrison, so many guys who have been just a help, Darren and Terry when they were here, Matt and Stacy, Adam and Abe and Anna DeLeon, so many others. And I'm always grateful for more relationships, but I kind of look back and I think, wow, you know, those conversations with those brothers, when I was at my darkest point, really helped inspire me to continue on to follow Jesus. I want to look at another passage in 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7. Because I think this really is another key issue for our walk with God. If we are going to move forward, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. It's very easy to keep things secret. It's easy to push sin down. It's easy to not talk about the things that are really hurting us spiritually. I this is one of my passages to get closer to people, to be vulnerable, to talk about what's really going on with me. Because I'm not, some of you guys don't know me. I'm not necessarily some, fantastic speaker, amazing guy, but I have stuff that I got to deal with, and I got to talk about it, and I need help with it. And I'm not afraid to talk about it, because that's the only way for me to overcome it. And that's part of how I got here. And having the humility to talk about that, not that I'm humble. You say you're humble, that's it, you're done. It's already, you've already been prideful, so I'm not going to say that. And let's go back to Matthew 28. And And probably the most encouraging part of this passage is the very end. It says, Jesus says, "And surely," not surely, "surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Of course he's with Shirley. That Jesus would be, when you make Jesus Lord, that Jesus will be with you through situations. In every situation, up or down, what gets me through is that Jesus is with me. Jesus is next to me. Even if I'm feeling insecure, even if I'm walking into a completely new situation, I've never been an elder before. I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. And I don't know what I'm supposed to be either. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but with Jesus next to me, I know that I can be successful. And whatever that looks like, I'm just going to be grateful, you know, in the journey. And so I want you to realize that all of these things are what brought me to God. And so I just continue to grow in these things. And that's how I think, that's how I got here. Over the last 2 weeks, that's kind of what I've been thinking about. And this passage kind of sums it up pretty much, my life in the church. And I'm totally grateful to be able to speak to you this morning. Thank you, Steve, for the opportunity. And I look forward to growing and being a better speaker and doing more speaking. It's not easy for me. I'm not a natural. But, you know, I know God's gonna use both Fiona and I, and I'm excited about the opportunities that we'll have to serve in many ways. We're going to still keep working with the teens in case there's any, you know, wondering about that. I love the teens. I talked to Kevin before, you know, we were talking. I said, "Hey, if I can be an elder and work with the teens, I'm good." He's like, "Well, I don't see any reason why we can't do that." So I was like, "All right, amen. That's cool." So thank you for your attention. I'm going to turn it over to Steve, and he's going to finish us out.
Thanks, Mark. That was awesome. And I want to encourage all of us just to think about how you are going to allow God to use you to further his kingdom. You know, one of the things about being an elder, it says that you have to desire the office. Mark being appointed an elder didn't just happen by accident. It didn't just happen that one day we woke up and all of a sudden Mark's an elder. I mean, this is Mark making a decision years and years ago in his life that he was going to allow God to use him. And deciding that he was going to grow spiritually. Deciding that he was going to work on his weaknesses. And deciding that he was going to continue to work on his strengths. And I just want to encourage all of us here. What are your goals for God to use you over the next year? Where would you like to be in your life with God a year from now? Where would you like to be with God in your life when 2020 rolls around? That's only 3 years from now. It's hard to believe. This decade is flying by. Where would you like to be in 2025 with God in your life? For me, I just hope I'm around in 2025. That'll be nice. But if I am around, I'm going to have some goals. I'm going to have some things I want to accomplish. And I'm going to have some things I want to get done with God's help. And I think for all of us, I want us to think about this, pray about this. The goals you set are the goals you get. If you're drifting around in life without goals, then you're not going to accomplish much. But when you set goals and set them with God, and set them with prayer, and set them with thought, and set them with meditation, even have people that will hold you accountable, then you can accomplish some things. And I don't, you know, it's fine for us to think about what we want God to do with us. But I'm asking a different question. I'm asking, what do you want to do with God? What are you willing to do? The talent that God has given you, What do you want to do with that in the church? I would love to see us as a church, you know, set goals of where we would like to be as a church in 2020, where we would like to be as a church in 2025, where would we like to be as a church in 2030? But that's going to take all of us working together to accomplish those goals. For some of us, we should be thinking right now about the people that we can reach out to help become disciples. That's something you can do with God's power. For some of us, we should be thinking about leading a Bible talk, because God has given you that gift of leadership, and you can lead a Bible talk. And I encourage you, think about that, and not just leading it, but put a date to it. A year from now, I would like to be leading a Bible talk. By 2020, I want to be leading a Bible talk. But what would you like to do for God? How are you going to allow God to use you over the next few years? I think God has great plans for us in the Hudson Valley. I think there's so many things that we can accomplish with God. And I want to ask all of us, let's be a part of the solution. Let's decide that we are going to be givers and not takers. Let's decide that we are going to use the gifts that God has given us for His service. You know, you either use it or you lose it. It doesn't just stay in like a static situation. You're either building on the gifts and the talent that God has given you, or they're getting drained away. And I encourage you, think about the gifts that you have and decide, I will use them for God. I'm going to glorify God with the gifts that He's given me, the talent that He's given me, and I want to use it to also to encourage the church and to edify the church. What can you do for God? What can you give to God? I appreciate Mark. He's a great example, because you do have to desire the office. You do have to decide that I'm going to work on my weaknesses. You have to decide that these are things that I am going to change so that God can use me. But the thing is, that's not about just being an elder. That's about basic Christian discipleship. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. That I am going to change what I need to change to please God. That I'm going to work on my weaknesses and turn them into strengths with God's help. That I'm going to continue to strengthen my strengths and get stronger in areas where I'm already strong with God's help. And I want to call on all of us to have that heart, to make that decision. Yes, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, I'm going to love God with everything that I have. Yes, I'm going to give my all to God. And to God be the glory. Let's give ourselves to God. First, let's give ourselves to His church. Let's give ourselves to each other. And let's see how God will use us and the ways that He will work through us. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.